If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn to begin with Galatians chapter 5. I'm wanting to focus our attention for reading on verses 16 through 18. We're going to be talking today about God's will, my heart's desire. God's will, my heart's desire. Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. If you would stand one more time and let's read God's word together. So once you've found it in your Bible on your device, I'd like to bring your attention to the screen so that we can read it aloud together. Amen. Let's read. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Amen? Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Again. God's will, my heart's desire. God's will, my heart's desire. Each of us know this, that with any particular appliance or device that you purchase, you need to make sure that you have that device supplied with the right power. Amen? Nothing worse than on Christmas Day when that child opens up that much wanted gift that they have cried for and begged for all year long, only to discover that when they get the wrapping off of the package and they get the package open, that you forgot to get the AA batteries. Thank God for Quick Trip. That opens on Christmas Day. Because without the battery, all of the accessories are there for that toy, for that little gadget, for that gift. But if they don't have the right power, that individual, that child will not be able to enjoy that gift. Amen? The factory has assembled it well. They packaged it well. The designer has laid it out. Everything has been done right. But yet, if there is no power, then that child will not be able to enjoy the benefit of that gift. You know the same is true that if you ever make the mistake of ignoring your gas gauge, amen. There are those of us who will wait until the last moment. I did say us. There are those of us who will wait until the last moment. And then the light comes on and we calculate in our minds. We still have X number of miles that we can go. But if we misjudge, and you start to feel that jerk. I act like I'm talking from experience, don't I? Start to feel that jerk. You get nervous and you talk about praying. That's when you start praying. Help me. Lord Jesus. If you just get me to the next corner. Because you know that once you run out of the fuel in which that vehicle is needed or is required to run on, you're not going to be able to go any farther. You need that source of energy to enjoy the benefit of the design of that vehicle. Without the fuel in the car, you won't go anywhere. Amen. Now, you'll be able to turn on the accessories and listen to the radio while you wait. But if it's really hot, you won't be able to enjoy the AC. Because without the fuel, you cannot start the engine. The engine, the AC needs that in order to function. Amen. So you and I need that fuel to operate. It is important that you and I understand, just as we understand in the same way about gifts, gadgets, toys, vehicles, and their source of energy, we need to understand that as kingdom citizens, that we have a certain energy, a certain fuel that we must live by. That until Satan and his cohorts are tossed into the abyss, that you and I will continue to live in a world that is increasingly more wicked. You and I have been called to be different. Because we're not of this world. We are citizens of the kingdom of God. Remember, we've been rescued out of darkness and brought into the kingdom of God's Son. So we are, though in this world, we are really just strangers passing by. We're actually citizens of the kingdom of God. And you and I cannot live in this world successfully trying to operate and live by the principles of this world. Trying to operate and live by the resources and the energy of this world. You and I need to be living by the Spirit of the living God. And anything else that you and I try to live on will fall short of helping us to become all that God has purposed us to be. It will fall short of God using the gifts that he has placed inside of us, because in order for those gifts to be maximized, they must be under the control of the Spirit of the living God. I just want to be up front. I said, God's will, my heart's desire, that if I'm not being led by the Spirit of God, I will not seek God's will. Amen. I need God's Spirit to help me pursue God's will for my life. And if I am burning my energies pursuing anything else, what I will discover is that when I achieve it, I'm going to be disappointed, because I was designed always to bring glory and honor to God. In this book, this letter to the Galatian church, the Apostle Paul begins to unpack and help us understand that you and I ought to live by the Spirit. Verses 16 through 18, those verses that we just read, he begins it so boldly. He says, so I say, live or walk by the Spirit. And if you do that, you will not gratify the desires of the flesh or of the sinful nature. Your versions of the Bible will have those two words, flesh, sinful nature, sometimes interchange. What it talks about is that, first of all, you are a spiritual being. You are a spirit. You've been wrapped up in flesh, but you are a spirit. And because you've been wrapped up in the flesh, there's also this nature about you, we call it a fallen nature, that tends to pursue the things of this world as opposed to pursuing the things of God. This selection of text helps us understand that there's a struggle that we're in. Chasing the things that are important to God or chasing the things that are important to me. You and I must learn how to bring our hearts under the control of the Spirit of God so that we are chasing after the things that are important to God. Because as long as a citizen of the kingdom of God, as a child of God, as long as I am pursuing things that are opposed to the Spirit of God, that are opposed to the kingdom of God, I'm going to be in turmoil. My happiness will be momentary. It won't be joy. It'll be a fleeting happiness. So you and I must learn that in this life, we have to walk by the Spirit so that we can please the Spirit. Verse 17 says, the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit. And then it says again, he's repeating this to make sure you understand it, that the Spirit desires what is contrary to the sinful nature. I think it is in Romans chapter 7 where Paul again helps unpack this idea that says that when I want to do good, evil is always right there trying to entice me. He talks about the struggle that you and I go through. While I am trying to please God and do what's good, this sinful nature, this flesh is warring against the thing that pleases God. And he says that struggle is real. But you can win. You can be victorious. You don't have to let your flesh win. You don't have to let the sinful nature win because the Spirit of God lives in you and he is willing to empower you so that you overcome those natural desires and do that which pleases God. It says they are in conflict with each other. I don't know, when you read verse 17, Paul seems to be repeating this line after line so that the Galatian church as well as us understand that the battle that we are in is real. And if you don't realize that the battle that you're in is real, you will take it lightly. And if you take it lightly, the enemy of your soul will mop the floor with you. He will. Because you have taken lightly something God wanted you to take serious. He's like, you need to understand that your flesh is motivated by the things of this world. And you got to be careful that you are guarding yourself, protecting yourself, and allowing the Spirit of God to so control you so that you are not enticed and dragged away only to live in regret. Amen. Let me tell you how real this is. I don't like watching TV with commercials anymore. I kind of like streaming these days. Problem is, you know, streaming platforms are now, they got so many commercials because they're trying to hustle you in to buy their product. I could once upon a time listen to YouTube without being interrupted every 2 minutes. Now I'm trying to listen to a message or something on YouTube and a commercial pops up. And if I don't hit skip when the skip is available, it'll run and run and run. I could be sitting watching a football game. And have not thought about anything that they are about to advertise. But the moment that commercial that scratches my itch comes across, all of a sudden, yeah, I can't shake it. I can't shake it. I can't shake it. Man, they would have me going to McDonald's trying to get a sandwich, knowing that that sandwich ain't going to be as good as they made it look. Hey, ain't going to happen. Got me calling Wingstop. I'll be there as soon as possible. I wasn't hungry until they put it in front of me and made it look so, so good. Mm-hmm. Because this world entices what we see. It deals with this realm that we see. It deals with our natural senses. It seeks to draw us in. Not all these things are bad. The wings ain't bad unless I'm trying to eat them when I'm not hungry. Now we have a problem. Amen? And they're not bad unless I keep eating more and more. I paid for these. I'm gonna make my plate happy. You're going to have a happy face. Well, you know you can't hold anymore. That's all right. because the flesh is now pulling me in. And it's allowing me to become a slave now to my taste and all of those things. And it's preventing me from doing what I need to do. Why? Because we have declared that our bodies are what? Temples of the Holy Spirit. And we have said things so bold as this: I present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord. We've even been so bold as to say, God, I submit to you my hands and my feet. Use them as tools and instruments of righteousness for your glory. But right now, Lord, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be a glutton. And even though you've said to me, push that away, I've said one more bite. Yeah. Because there's a struggle that's happening. Struggle between my sinful nature and the Spirit of God. And while I've talked about food, Paul makes it abundantly clear the other struggles that are associated with the sinful nature. Look at what he says. We didn't read these, but look at what he says in verse number 19. He says, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And then he begins to list them. Sexual immorality that comes from the sinful nature. Impurity and debauchery. That's coming from the sinful nature. Idolatry and witchcraft. These are things from the sinful nature. Hatred, sinful nature. Discord, sinful nature. Jealousy, sinful nature. Fits of rage, sinful nature. Selfish ambition, wait a minute, sinful nature. Dissension, factions, envy. Y'all want me to skip this next one? Nope, I can't skip it. Drunkenness, orgies, and the like. What? He says all of these things are coming from the sinful nature. These are enticements that are coming from the sinful nature. And then he sticks a warning. He says, I warn you that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So Paul is saying, be aware that these things, though you may see other people in the world doing them freely, that your job is not to follow what they are doing. Remember that we are being renewed in our thinking. We are being transformed in the way we think. We are not following the pattern of this world. We have a new standard by which we live by. And he says that even though you come from this world, you are not of this world. You have a different standard that you have to live by. And just because it's all right for Sister Sue on the other side of the street doesn't mean it's all right for you. They do not become the judges of how you run your life. God says he desires to be in control of how you live your life and what you deem important. And so Paul is saying, live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit, be led of the Spirit, and you will be able to overcome these things that have come up against you from the sinful nature. These are important because you and I are being transformed. God says, come to me as you are. But do not think that I'll let you remain as you are. I welcome you, but now as you enter the process of sanctification, I am going to transform you from a dead, empty being to one who is alive and who can rightly reflect my image. Remember, that's our charge, your charge, my charge, is to reflect the image of God wherever we go. That we need to carry the light of who Christ is, the light of who God is, wherever we go. You are what? The light of the world. But your light operates by the power of the Holy Spirit. And in order for your light to shine brightly, you must surrender to the Spirit of the living God. And as he is leading you away from some things, you must willingly go away from those things that your sinful nature or your flesh may be saying, please don't go yet. Stay a little longer. You must surrender and follow him. Why? Because God's desire for you is always better than your desire for yourself. God's plan for you is always better than the plan that you came up with. And the only way you can ever fulfill God's plan is by being led by his Spirit. Why? Because he knows the way. He can lead you through the terrain and through the rough situations. He will be your strength when you become tired and weary. He is going to give you everything that you need so that you leave point A and reach the destination that God has for you. He will not leave you nor abandon you. He will not leave you on your own as long as you are willing to follow his leading. And it is his desire that his purpose for your life be fulfilled. Can you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8 real quick? Because this is, again, the Apostle Paul who is expanding and helping us to understand what it means to be led by the Spirit of God. I want to bring your attention to verses 5 through 11 in Romans chapter 8. But I want to encourage you. This is one of those chapters that's worth reading every day. If not every day, every other day. Most of us are very familiar with the last part of the chapter. You know where he talks about all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who have been called according to his purposes? We're very familiar with that part. So by the time you read all of that and you get down to that, that's good stuff. That's a good read every day of the week. Amen. But I want to bring your attention to verse number 5. Look at what he says. Those who live according to the sinful nature or the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, is dying, is decaying. He says, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile, is hostile to God. When you're walking in your flesh, remember we read those things that come from the flesh. Remember when you are in pursuit of selfish ambition, suddenly you are becoming hostile to God. He says, but it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. So the mind that is yielded or governed by the sinful nature refuses the will of God, is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. And it says, nor can it do so. Why? Because you need the Spirit of God to adhere to the will of God or to the Word of God. We need His Spirit at work in us. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Anytime you and I get stuck in the flesh, we may be satisfied and pleasing ourselves momentarily, but it is bringing no pleasure to God. So you and I must learn how to surrender and yield to the Spirit of God, to the prompting, to the leading of God, so that we can please God. You remember that scripture in Hebrews chapter 11? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Amen? It says, I love this, you. However, are not in the realm of the flesh. Now, that's a praise the Lord right there. Hallelujah. But are in the realm of the Spirit. This is a truth that Paul is wanting us to apprehend and to comprehend, that though we live in this world, though we are a part of this world, though we can see, touch, feel, and do all of those things, we are not of the realm of the flesh. We are of the realm of the Spirit. In fact, the moment that you put your hope, your trust in Jesus Christ, He transported you and He set you in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus. Glory! Hallelujah. Amen. So you are not under the control of this world, because you're in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And I love this, because Paul is not wanting folks to start saying, well, is the Spirit of God alive in me? And so he asks this, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, you do not belong to Christ. Amen. And so he says that if you have what? Confessed with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Also saying you are in Christ. And if you are in Christ, then the Spirit of God is now in you. That's a part of God's package. He said, oh, if you're going to become my child, then I've got to put my Spirit in you so that you have what you need to live a kingdom-focused life. And so he sends his spirit to live in you. He seals you with his spirit because now he owns you. And he says, now I'm going to be with you wherever you go. And what you and I must learn to do is trust him enough to believe that his directions are always better than ours. Amen. Anybody in here use GPS? Because I'm now asking, what did I do prior to GPS? But I have to admit, sometimes I think I know better than my GPS. Sometimes I will put the address in and I will choose my route. And because I know, or I think I know where I'm going, I'll choose not to follow the directions that have been given. I have a sudden lapse of memory. I forget that the global positioning system is using satellites that have a longer view than I do. I forget that they are actually rerouting and looking for sometimes the fastest route. And they are thinking about any time there might be a traffic jam or an accident or something else that's happening that has caused the stuff to slow, and they route me another way, and I don't want to go that way. And you know, I'm like y'all, I talk to it too. It's redirecting. Stop, I heard you. Don't make me put you on mute. And unfortunately, sometimes you and I forget that God knows where he is taking us. God knows the traps that are in front of us. God knows the struggles that are there. In fact, God even knows some of the difficulties that are there, and that those difficulties are actually designed to make you stronger. And when God is leading us in a different direction, you and I will sometimes say, I don't want to go that way. And when that is happening, what is going on is that it is your flesh that is rebelling to what the Spirit of God wants to do. Because you and our sinful nature, me and my sinful nature, we like to do things our own way. Amen. And when my way gets in the way of God's way, it creates a problem, not for God, but for me. And what you and I need to learn how to do is, because the Spirit of God lives in us, is to understand that God has given us his spirit so that we can navigate this life, because he is bringing us home to him. But along the way, he wants us to be a point of glory for him. He wants us to be witnesses for the kingdom. Along the way, he has work for me and you to do. And the only way that we can do it is if we follow his plan, his will, his direction, his way. That means that my pride must be laid aside. My agenda must be laid aside. My selfish ambition must be put to death. I must realize that I now live for Christ. He is the only one that matters. God's will must become my heart's desire. And the only way that God's will can become my heart's desire is if I allow his spirit to have his way. Because deep in the citadels of my heart, things try to hide. Yeah, they try to find a dark corner so that I can't see them and kick them out. But thanks be to God that there is no place that stuff can hide from God. That's why the Bible says in Jeremiah that your heart is deceptive above all things. It will trick you and make you think that you feel one way when you really feel another way. But God says he judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And if you will allow his spirit to have his way, that he will make sure that your heart is righteous enough to follow him in obedience so that he can fulfill his will in your life. And so you and I then, we have to say, God, I trust you enough to let you direct and order my steps. In fact, God, I'll let you fix my mistakes. I won't be stubborn. Nope. I won't try to fix it myself. God, I'll let you fix it, because it was my thinking that got me in this mess. But I'm going to trust you enough to let you deliver me out of the mess. One of my favorite scriptures, and you know this because it's one of yours too, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. You know that one? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. Uh-oh, in all thy ways, is that what you said? Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will what? He will direct your path. And so you and I have to resign that, God, I trust you enough that even though I don't have all the details about where you're leading me, what you're doing with me, I trust you enough to believe that, God, today is important to you and I am important to you today, and that you're going to lead me along the right path so that your will is fulfilled in my life. So, God, give me an ear that is able to hear your voice. Give me a heart that is tender enough to receive your instructions and respond to it. God, give me eyes that are able to see how you are moving so that, God, I will follow you and not somebody else. God, I just want to trust you and you alone. Let your spirit speak to me, God, so that, Lord, I am going in the right direction, and I'm willing to turn wherever you tell me to turn. I'm willing to be rerouted, God, however you want to reroute me, because, God, your will becomes my heart's desire. I just want to please you, and I don't want to please myself. God, it's all about you. I might be stuck in my emotions right now, but thanks be to God, you gave me your spirit. You can help me get past my feelings. Because I know that in order to get past my feelings and walk in faith, that, God, I have to trust you and not what I'm feeling. And so, God, I trust you. And I am going to demonstrate my trust by exercising faith in you. Walk in according to, God, what you want me to do. I love this acronym for faith. It's real, real easy. Most of you probably already know it. It says, forsaking all, I trust him. That nobody else has dominion over my life except God. Forsaking everybody else, I trust him. You and I must love God more than we love mama and daddy. Woo. You and I must love God more than we love them childrens. Woo. You and I must love God more than we love that significant other. Oh my goodness. And this is the one. You and I must love God more than we love ourselves. Amen. There must be a death to self so that I can love God. I have been crucified. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And so now I have been crucified to the things of this world. And I am in pursuit of the things of the kingdom of God, running hard after them. And as I run hard after them, his spirit leads me and fuels me and guides me so that as I run, he provides me with direction and strength so that his name will be glorified. No longer is it about me. Now it's all about him. What is your objective in life? To glorify God and exalt the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. It's about exalting him. I ought to see more pictures or comments about God and what he is doing in your life than I ought to see about what you had for dinner. Amen. You and I ought to use the space and the opportunities that we've been given to exalt the name of Jesus Christ more than we tell about our favorite meal or our favorite event or activity. Elevate him because God wants to be glorified in your life. Here's the truth, that as long as you and I have the thrones of our hearts, that we don't give God permission to rule. But because Christ lives in you, he says that by his Spirit, he will lead us. And your job and my job becomes to adhere to him and follow him. Real quickly, as we close, there are a couple of things you need to know about tuning your ear to the Spirit of God. The first one is this, that if you're not reading the Word of God on a regular basis, you are missing an opportunity to hear the voice of God speak in your life. You need to have yourself on a regular regimen and diet whereby you are reading God's Word daily. Amen? And dare I say, not just once a day, but sometimes it requires that you go back multiple times in the day. And not only are you reading it, but remember, you're hiding it in your heart so that you will not what? Sin against God. And so you've got, in order to hide God's word in your heart, that means that you have to be meditating on it. That means that you have to be rehearsing God's word throughout the day so that it becomes a part of who you are. If you are not hiding God's word in your heart, you will not be able to clearly recognize his voice when he speaks, because the enemy of your soul masquerades as an angel of light. Can I tell you that the devil knows the word of God? He knows the word of God. Remember, he tried to trick Jesus with the word of God. Remember, he said, Jesus, look, if you're the son of God, you know he ain't gonna let nothing happen to you. In fact, he says that if you were to just jump, he'll command his angels to go grab you so that you won't strike your foot against a stone. Psalm 91, he throwing this at Jesus. And Jesus said, if you're going to quote the book, go ahead and quote it all. It also says, don't tempt the Lord your God. You trying to take this out of context and make me do something crazy. Why? Because the devil knows the word of God. And if you have not studied the word of God, he can trip you up. But thanks be to God that the Spirit of God always brings to your remembrance that which you have read and studied, that which is needed for you so that you won't be tripped up. Why? Because it is his desire that you experience victory. But can you give him something to work with, please? Amen. And so let's put ourselves on a regular regimen of God's word. Where we are reading it, investing time and hiding it in our heart and meditating on it regularly. The second thing is this, that you and I need to make sure that we are learning how to pray without ceasing. Amen. To be in a spirit of prayer regularly. Why? Because we have said that prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is that line, that connection that we have with God. Prayer is our ability to dialogue with God and God speak back to us. Prayer gets to the place of where you're talking about now specific situations and opportunities and moments. As you're reading the Word of God, remember, we're normally reading the Word of God, and if we're on a steady diet, it's taking us in different places. But when you start to pray, you begin to pray about specific things that are heavy upon your heart, or decisions that you need to make, and you're waiting for God to speak to you so that you know which direction to go. And you've got to learn how to pray without ceasing. Sometimes God does not give you the answer when you are on your knees. Sometimes when you are bowed there and you are praying and you are waiting, well, I spoke and now I'm waiting on the Lord, but I haven't received anything. And I got to get up and go to work. Well, get on up and go to work. It's all right. God gonna be wherever you is. And if you stay in that mindset, praying without ceasing, what does that mean? If prayer is communication, what am I doing? I'm regularly talking to God, and I'm really regularly listening for the voice of God. Amen? And so it may be that as I'm driving, he begins to speak. And I need to recognize his voice and sense his presence enough to shut everything else off and pay attention to what he's saying. And as one of my friends has told me, he says that when God begins to speak to him, when he's driving, he's trying to get pulled over so that he can write down what God is saying. He says sometimes when he gets pulled over, God stops talking, but that's a whole nother story right there, right? And he said, well, I'll wait here until you start again. But you and I need to be in that attitude, praying without ceasing, so that we are regularly communicating with God and regularly listening and hearing what he has to say. Here's the third thing. We need to make sure that we are in healthy relationships with kingdom citizens who are also trying to make God's will their heart's desire. Amen? Because God chooses to use us to speak into one another's lives. As iron sharpens iron, so does one individual, one person, another. Sometimes God will speak a word to us for somebody else. And what you and I have got to learn how to do is trust one another enough that when God speaks to a sister or brother, we don't have that prideful attitude that says, well, he didn't tell me that. You know, you've seen some people like that, right? But you've got to remember, God can use whoever and whatever he wants to. And if you're getting out of the way of self so that God can rule, you will let him use whomever he chooses to use to send his message to you. So don't allow your attitude about somebody else prevent you from hearing what God wants to say to them, through them to you. Amen? So that you and I can stay tuned, because we want to be led by the Spirit so that God's will becomes our heart's desire. And finally, this, you and I need to remember that living a kingdom life in this world is not easy. Erase that thought out of your mind that says that when I'm following the will of God, everything is going to fall in place and it's going to be easy. No! What you need to know is that the enemy of your soul does not want you fulfilling God's purposes in your life. And that he will do everything he can to prevent that from coming to pass. And just because you come up against difficulties and hardships, it does not mean that you are out of the will of God. It means that you must keep pressing forward. Because if you have heard him, God didn't change his mind. It means you've got to keep pressing forward so that in the middle of it, you don't allow hardships to stop you from pursuing God's will. The greatest illustration of this comes from who? Jesus Christ himself. That in those last moments, as he was nearing the time for his life to be given, you remember the story about the Garden of Gethsemane? He went into the Garden of Gethsemane and he was praying unto God, if there is another way, please show it now. And he said this, not my will, but your will be done. In other words, he says, God, your will is my heart's desire. And he had to, it wasn't just once, it wasn't just twice, three times that he came back and it said he prayed the same prayer, which means that there was a struggle going on for him to fulfill that which he was sent to do. But he said, I don't care how hard, how difficult it might be. God, your desire, your will is my heart's desire. So not what I will, it is what you will. And brothers and sisters, you and I have got to have that same mindset in us, because we have the same spirit that was upon Christ and in Christ lives in us. And so the same one that helped him to say, not my will, but your will be done, will help you and me to say, God, not my will, but your will be done. If you and I will yield to him, he will help us to make his kingdom the priority of our lives, so that as we live, he will be able to use us to be witnesses of his greatness. Amen. Amen. And the people of God said, praise God. Amen. Amen. Will you bow your heads with me as we close the word of prayer? Father, you said that if we delight ourselves in you, that you would give us the desires of our hearts. And so we pray today that, God, you would help us by the power of your Spirit to seek first your kingdom, your righteousness. That you would help us, God, to order our lives in such a way that it is evident to all that you are, that your kingdom is our priority. Give us wisdom, God, to walk day by day in the various relationships that you've given us and the various tasks and responsibilities that you've given us, to walk day by day in a manner that, Father, keeps you at the forefront. Help us to not be ruled or governed by our sinful nature, but instead help us to yield to your Spirit so that you can give us all that we need to represent Christ in every situation. Give us all that we need so that we can be good representatives of your kingdom, as we seek to draw men and women out of darkness into a relationship with you. Thank you today for being faithful in all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.